From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way. No.
Del Jackson from WVNN up in Huntsville. Del, how are you?
Could not be any better. Great Father's Day. All that fun stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. It was an eventful weekend for me as well, but it's back to the grind here. So we have a toss this election. I have this idea, though. Let's challenge someone's military service.
Afterwards, we can suggest they have banged a raccoon.
Right. Well, no, let's get the raccoon challenging the military service.
You know, there was an elephant that was sworn into, I think, the French army, maybe it was, or maybe it was Australian army. Either way, who knows? Maybe the raccoon can serve.
Maybe, but I'm thinking here there's potential for something. You know, that we have learned a lot of lessons from the last month or so, and this is the way we know now what not to do.
Well, you and I think disagree on the lesson.
What's that?
But to me, the lesson is the internet ain't real life. With the tower comes the power. Radio stations and TV still calling the shots. You don't buy that so much.
Well, I still think it's true. The tower comes the power, but I think it's changing. I mean, like I said, the evidence speaks for itself.
Yeah. I read our previous conversations about this as you maybe weren't so sold as you sound right now. So maybe I misunderstood.
No, it's this. I mean, Jared Hudson, if you want to say it's like you got two race cars and one's just proven and true. And then that's the traditional means is going to win a race. And then you have this new thing that's come along. And it finishes second, a distant second, but it finishes second. There's something to be said about that. The way it worked is, you know, there was just so many undecided voters at the beginning of this year. And so you had Jared Hudson, who's, you know, trailing in third place, and he gets in the runoff. And, there's something to be said about finishing second. You don't get the trophy, but you do show that this is a process that has potential.
Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. I just think as of right now, like we agree, I guess, it's still traditional media, and I think campaigns are getting too high on their own supply with trying to be too cute. I'll put it that way.
Are they not doing it very well, or doing it as well as it could be done? It's now that it's being done, it's sort of like they're just kind of testing things and seeing how this is going to go. So I still think you got to do a good, have a good ground game, and you still, you know, high name ID helps. But, you know, we never seen like this much progress be made with some kind of an online presence before.
Yeah, was that Jared Hudson's thing, the online presence?
But I think he's always had the Navy SEAL thing. And when he ran for sheriff, he had that. He didn't do the, like, and it's not just like you get these consultants, and we have to have a Facebook page, and we have to put posts up, and they're very generic. They're not in, like, the voice of the candidate. They're written by some, like, comm staffer or volunteer or something. And, like, he kind of, like, changed that a little bit. I mean, I think it's here to stay, and it's just headed in that direction now.
Yeah, I think it just comes off. Everything we saw came off as so fake. I mean, it was all exposed. Me and you have different styles, but you asked the question first. It was a very simple question of, hey, man, so do you think Barry Moore's a veteran? Oh, well, golly gee, Jeff, yeah. I just don't know. I'm not the one saying it. It's just everyone around me and everyone who I talk to and everyone but me. But I think it might be true, but I don't want to say it. But I might be, could be, maybe. And it's like, God, that is just terrible.
Well, another thing I hate, this was from your interview with him, was like everybody who presses him or is critical of what he's saying is an operative for the other side.
Oh, yeah, I was called a surrogate, which is fine. I mean, I that doesn't bother me. I'll be completely honest
with you. But it invades the question, right? Like, you're asking a legitimate question, And he's like going away from the. He's using that as his answer, like, "Oh, you're a surrogate for this campaign," and
right, but
that's like, not the case, right?
Yeah, but by doing that, he just exposed himself,
right? But me. I mean, I don't think that's it's just bad, you know.
It's tacky. It's bad form. He first off, he never should have done the interview with me. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, I hate to like toot my own horn here because you know how much I hate doing that.
Well, but sure.
Yeah, but he never should have done the interview with me.
I don't know. You're the Yellowhammer guy. I would have thought, maybe.
Well, if anything, it's the proof of concept that once again the Yellowhammer guys aren't controlled. Opposition. I know
they got to crack the whip over there.
No, they don't. They're doing exactly the right thing, letting the chips fall where they may.
I mean, that's fair. I'm obviously being facetious, but I mean, on paper, if you ask somebody who's doing their homework, maybe we don't do this. Maybe listen to your show. I mean, I don't listen to every word of your show, but I'm aware of your social media and your videos, and I know what's going on.
Also aware of my style.
Yeah.
Man, my attention mongering. That's like you give me an opportunity to insert myself in the middle of something, I'm going to do it. And they did. That's what they did. And I this, Jeff, more so than anybody else. You and I believe the stuff we say. There are probably not. You know, I'm not saying everyone on talk radio is phony. I don't want to make it sound that way. But I'm like the most unprotected talk radio host that you know. Like, I don't protect myself at all. I'm the unvarnished, like, insane human being that I am on the radio in real life. But you know what you're getting. It's pretty straightforward.
I mean, unless your name's Mo Brooks, you're not getting the easy treatment.
Yeah. Well, sure. Why don't you ask Mo Brooks about whose voices show up in the campaign ads attacking him? They're me.
Yeah. There was a time, though, when that statement was a little more true, I guess.
I was never attempting to attack him. It just came out that way.
Well, and then you got to go into these radio interviews with kind of an open mind about it. Like, you know, they're going to ask me this, but like, you know, two of the candidates one of the candidates for sure avoided the show until the last day. I don't know what they're afraid of, but it's you got to be prepared for that. You got to be able to, if you're running for this high office. You got to be prepared for the Jeff Plour show or the Dale Jackson show.
You have to be willing to get in on the fight. You've decided to enter the arena. Go in and just do. I would listen. There's a guy. God, what's his name? Kevin Turner. I know his name very well. The sheriff of Madison County.
Right.
He is a guy who I don't agree with him on everything. But he will just come and sit down and be like, this is what I'm. The mayor of Orange Beach. What's his name? Tony. Yeah, he's another one. In my perspective of him is that he's just going to sit down and tell you what he thinks. Am I right about that?
Yeah, most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, he's a pretty straight shooter. And I mean, that's what you're looking for. You just got to be those guys. If you're not going to be those guys, then don't enter the arena.
What's it like being cited in frivolous lawsuits, probably written by Joyce Vance, over Tommy Tuberville's residency?
Oh, about me asking about the driver's license?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Joyce Vance is, I hate to say this because she's an accomplished woman, but she sounds like a real stupid idiot. I mean, there's just you were worried about what was coming there, I know, but I'm just telling you, I could have said worse. And I think that she's a dishonest person too. She is a law professor, and God help the state of Alabama, the law students that she's cranking out. If this is what she really believes. Oh, Dale Jackson asked about a driver's license. Well, I'm sure that's going to hold up in court. He was overheard at a Shoals, a Muscle Shoals area thing saying, "I'm a carpetbagger." He told him that? Wow. Well, even if he said that in a speech, which I don't think he did. It was, what?
Well, it's not something that is like, you know, is that going to disqualify you?
Overheard words? No, I doubt it.
No, she's, and it's just like, this has been tried so many times.
She's a fraud. Here's
the question for you, and we can't find anybody, but we can't find any of her law students.
Is this a Steve Flowers situation?
It may very well be that I don't even know if she's getting paid, but she puts it on her chyron when she goes on TV. Does she really teach law? It looks to me like she lives in a closet at a TV studio somewhere because she's on TV so much.
You know, I'm going to just tell you this, and I'm going to paraphrase this because I don't remember the exact quote. But her husband, when he was running for, was it district judge? Was he running for state?
No, he's running for court of criminal appeals.
Whatever he was running for. He and I were having a conversation off the air one day, and he said to me, he's like, she's not helping me. I was like, I can tell. Like, I can tell. You know, and that's...
He's kind of a good guy now. You know, his father was the one killed with the mail bomb thing.
Correct.
Yeah. I think he's a reasonable guy. He's still a Democrat, a Mountain Brook liberal, but like...
But his point was, like, you know, her being so out there. And you know how it works, Jeff. There's a reason why sometimes people get on our show and they get maybe a little too free with themselves. And that happens on the left as well. When you think you're having a conversation amongst people who are fellow travelers and on MS Now, you're deep in the hole, right? So, you know, for Joyce Vance to crawl out of her closet and say something ridiculous that she doesn't believe, and everyone tells her how wonderful it is.
She's got like a cult-like following, but the thing about her is like, she's wrong about everything. Donald Trump should have been under the jail by now if you're taking her seriously.
Well, I wish you guys would pursue the, is she actually a professor at Alabama?
I mean, I don't know. I know she was a U.S. attorney under Obama. I mean, she's got some credentials, but it's a very strange phenomenon. And, like, everything is, you know, we have, like, these paid, like, conservative influencers.
Yeah.
She kind of comes off as, like, the left's version of that sometimes. Like, holy
shit. Riley, saying stuff about soda factories and our soda companies and doesn't really mean it.
Well, no, you know how they do, like, the overhyped, like, pejoratives, like holy, you know what, or whatever, but it's never the actual word, and, like, everything is just, like, this big, big bombshell, and they're dropping it for your subscriber or the follower of them, like, you're getting this like salacious stuff, and it's just like it's only hyped up, and you're just trolling for like interactions, engagement farming or something.
Yeah, that's possibly it. I don't know, but I look at her and I'm just like, she's a mess. I look at some of the conservative influencers; they're embarrassing messes. I just don't know. I don't know what it'd be worth lying. Maybe there's a dollar figure in there that makes it worthwhile. I don't know.
Well, like I said, she's got this cult following, and she just says stuff that's not true. It's just it's like confirmation bias, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think that's absolutely true. And I really hope that these people continue saying things that are blatantly untrue. I mean, look, let's just use this for an example. The reflecting pond. Donald Trump spent $13 million cleaning up this reflecting pond. Okay. What happened before that? Oh, Barack Obama spent how much? And it was still a problem? Don't you think maybe that's an interesting part of this story as well?
Yeah. They're like, gotcha. Like, bullets in ballrooms or whatever. No one's like, that's not how they're going to win. But I guess it makes the left media... when they get pressed and they're going to have to like take some positions or something, and then they'll have talking points. It's going to be interesting which camps they line up on.
Well, I looked it up as we were talking, and I went on their school website. She's a distinguished professor, Joyce Vance is, and I asked her what class is she teaching in 2026 ChatGPT, and it said, well, I looked in there, couldn't really find anything that shows exactly what she's teaching this term, but she's on the page, and so maybe that's the truth.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't think she's a very active academic at the University of Alabama.
Good. We already have to burn down the University of Alabama's journalism school because of Caitlin Collins. I would hate to have to do that to the law school as well.
There's a lot of other reasons to burn that journalism school down.
Metaphorically.
Yeah.
Metaphorically.
Well, start all over. It's just journalism schools in general really, really have a...
Don't you got one of those J school degrees?
I do. And I... I'm telling you, man, like I entered into this getting to get a, and you do too, right?
No, I have a telecom degree. Thank you very much.
But you take the classes, right?
Like yes.
Yeah. And I thought, oh, this stuff about like liberal bias and academia is embellished. It's over. They find like the craziest on campus. No, I mean, it really, and this is the University of South Alabama. Looking at second degree.
I went to UF.
I got second degree there, and I thought, you know, I was a little older, had already finished at Auburn, and was getting a second degree, and it was just kind of stunning that like the way these professors think and view the world, yeah, and a commuter college as well.
Yeah, I look at these people like they're out of touch. I was shocked to see them so out of touch every single day, but they were. That's the truth.
I mean, it's kind of crazy, and this is what I guess you go into like this sort of business. I guess in journalism, you do have a mindset, but I these people they're pushing their students in this direction, and it's disappointing.
It's definitely disappointing.
There's no critical analysis. It's all about who do you need to suck up to get the job, or you know,
you get punished for wrong think. I mean that's even in those classes you get punished for wrong think. You know, you're supposed to be there to push the line, change the world, and that's what you're supposed to be doing. And if you're not there to push that message, you're getting punished.
Well, and I'm you know, I had a professor pull me aside. She's like, you're decent writer or whatever, blah, blah. You gotta cease the whole conservative thing. You're never gonna get hired in this business. Like, I mean, it's like, look, it's fine to be conservative and all this stuff, but you know, like, you're never gonna get hired. You're gonna wind up having to do something else with your life.
I mean, I'll just ask this question: every journalist, commentator, whatever we've seen fired over the last 2 years, has a single one of them ended up at Breitbart?
No.
But they sure ended up at every other left-wing crank outlet, aren't they?
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I mean,
I saw this yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked by this. Mike Pence. Wrong vice president, I guess. Mike Pence was on with Chuck Todd on something called Newsphere. Newsphere app. Former Vice President Mike Pence, and they go to some stuff that was said, join us on the Newsphere app. And it's like, what in the world? So Chuck Todd's gone off there, and Mike Pence is paying attention to him. I just don't know what they're doing on this out in the middle of nowhere nonsense.
Yeah, well, I mean, they get, you know, where's Joy Reid or whoever? You just think about these names, or you know, Keith Olbermann. Like, where do these guys wind up?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. They wind up screaming on their balconies, I believe.
And I guess there's an audience for that, which is stunning to me. Dale, folks want to find you online, fight with you.
Can't fight me anymore.
Till you delete the tweet. How can they do so?
I've changed my strategy up, Jeff. Now I'm posting the same picture over and over again, just calling them dumb. That's all. But you can find me at the Dale Jackson on any social media site.
Dale Jackson, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Warm puppies and children and girls of the night. Them that don't know him won't like him, and them that do sometimes won't.
Treat you bad. Didn't know just what I had, but honey, now I do. And don't it make my brown eyes? Don't it make my brown eyes? Don't it make my brown eyes?
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Monday morning. Programming note: tomorrow on this show, we got Will Hampson, a couple of guests to be named later. I'll work on that guest list at some point during the program. Coming up in the next segment, Jerry Carl, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Let's see here. Old guy, is Jared Hudson old enough to have heard Ronald Reagan's campaign? Ronald Reagan was a straight shooter. Jared Hudson, no. Well, I'm going to say this. I just don't think Jared Hudson is a good attack candidate. He's a good candidate, But to win that race, he was going to have to go really, really hard after Barry Moore. And he just wasn't, he never was 100% on board with that. If you got to question Barry Moore's military service, then do it. Now, Katie Britt got away with some of it with Mike Durant, but that's just not Katie Britt. The idea that you would have a pack, set it up and let the pack do the dirty work, and you kind of run the clean campaign and play above the fray, it's not going to work for you because you're the Navy SEAL, you're the military authority. That's your calling card. And if you're gonna, and I just don't think this is what he wanted to do. He wasn't comfortable with that. He may have known it really wasn't a good angle, but they didn't have much, and they had a big gap to close.
All right, let's take it on down to Muscle.
Mike, with all the wastewater runoff, I wonder how many dads got to go catch Fairhope slab of green trout, speckled trout, and brown trout for Father's Day. Cute. One more, Jeff, you're a fool if you don't think Joyce Vance is a real law professor, as you were insinuating she was. She was a U.S. attorney for 18 years, many of those as chief. Yeah, show me the class she's teaching at Bama Law. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. To the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. What's left of it? Text line, you want to still try to get in, 251-343-0106. Time permitting, we'll make time for you. So make sure you utilize the text line. Joining us now, former Congressman Jerry Carl. He's a candidate in the, once again, redrawn 1st Congressional District. I've been running August 11th. That'll be here before you know it. But Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. We're doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Well, now you have a whole new, I guess, campaign strategy, new lines. How's it going?
It has all changed again. I think things are going very well. The campaign itself is, we're still on track. We're still talking our same message as we were before we got shifted, you know, before we got changed. I think we filed to run 3 or 4 times to run in this race, which I've never heard of that being done before. But we're just staying on message. It seems to be working, and we're just taking the fight to them.
Well, it sounds like you have the some kind of support. I don't know if it's a full endorsement, but Katie Britt has come around. Talk about that.
I did. Katie called me about 3 weeks ago, and she said, "Hey, you know, you and Rhett are separated now. I want to help you where I can." You know, Rhett was her neighbor. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that was her neighbor over in Enterprise growing up. So she supported him, and it happens, you know, in races. But she said, "I want to help you. How can I help you?" And you know, I just flat told her. I said, "Katie, things seem to be going very well. I don't know how you can help us." She said, "Well, at least let me send you some money." And I said, "Well, we can certainly use that." So she sent us the money. And, you know, we got conversations going back, especially between staff, which is a good thing. And that, you know, we have to work together. Whether I can think of a couple of congressmen that I don't care necessarily for outside the state, but you still have to work with them. You still have to sit down, you still have to negotiate. I mean, I've always had a relationship with Katie and her family. I know her mom and dad very, very well. So it's easy for me to work with her. So I got to quit calling her Katie and call her Senator Britt. But it was quite a nice gesture, I thought. And, you know, we're up and running. I see it got posted this morning and 2 or 3 different news sources picked it up. Jeff, I think we did a release on that 1.5 weeks ago. But, you know, how news is, sometimes it gets picked up sometimes it doesn't. So
well,
we're excited to have her support.
I think I saw it too. It got kind of mixed up in the election cycle, if you will. Been busy in this neck of the woods, if you know what I mean.
Oh yeah, I do.
Yeah, any reaction to the elections? I'd say the one thing, and you know, not any particular race, but just a Republican turnout and in general, getting Republicans more excited is going to be a challenge for this cycle.
I think we will turn out in the general. I think in our special election, it's going to be scary. It doesn't matter how much of a lead you think you have or your opponent thinks that he has. Reality is if you can't get them out to vote, you're dead in the water. So we've got to find a way of identifying those people. I think it was 7.5% on average voted in this last election. You know, if we get 4%, I'll be shocked. So we got to make sure that, you know, 2.5% is our votes. So we're working hard towards that. The campaign strategy itself has changed a little bit and that we don't have a lot of events like we did when there were a lot of candidates that we could go to instead of, you know, four meetings, one group a month. We're now down to one. So it's shifted a little bit. But, you know, we've got other things that we can be doing to fill the spot, fundraising and all the ground stuff that you have to do.
Well, I got to think there's not as much traffic out there. Right now, it's just congressional elections on August 11th, and maybe there's a local race thrown in somewhere in the state. But
you know, I was in Grand Bay. I was in Grand Bay at the Watermelon Festival. Not the festival, but the Sessions Watermelon. They have a little kickoff there. And everybody I ran into mentioned August 11th. Everybody I ran into mentioned that date. So maybe we may miss it. Maybe it will be 7%. I don't know.
Well, I mean, but you're able to navigate in this environment now. It's a little different. It's you're not in line behind the candidates for ad commissioner or, you know, AG or whatever. It's the floor is yours.
Yeah, we're the only conversation. And once it's over with us, then obviously we'll go into the general, and that'll be a different conversation. But we're getting as much exposure as we possibly can. You know, attending as many events as we can. We've got a radio ad that's just going to come up. And you'll be running it on your program. We're going to start targeting the people that would normally vote for us. We're going to try not to spend money on people that we know we're not going to get out and vote.
Yeah. Well, and then that's just making sure people are aware that this election, and I don't buy this. There's just so much confusion and people are going to stay home. I think, The people would rather have to endure this election Rama sort of scenario to get to the map we're at today than what we had before.
If they only knew what I've been going through for the last 3 years, and I'm not saying poor pity on me, but for the last 3 years I've been fighting this, and if they had gone through this, they would fight to get to vote. But that's how important it is. I think in Alabama, we're falling asleep as Republicans. We are a very conservative state. We're very proud of that being conservative. And we think just because we don't vote, we're still going to get conservative-minded people elected. It doesn't work that way. And anyone that says one vote doesn't make a difference is totally off. I've seen so many of these races that I've witnessed won by 5 and 6 votes. So your one vote does count. Please get out and vote. I've said it 1,000 times. But in Alabama, I think we're getting too comfortable with being a quote unquote Republican state.
Well, I grew up in a house, and I'm not trying to, you know, bash my parents or whatever, but they thought of the primaries as just small potatoes. They make their vote counts in the general election. They go in there and they hit R, and that's good enough. And I think there's just a lot of that in Alabama, and people don't really make that connection. They're like, well, no, the Republican primary is where everything is decided. The general election, sure, you have competitive general election contests at times, but you're not voting against Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer. You're voting within the boundaries of the state.
But look at the people that affect us every day, our judges, our school board members. I mean, all these people are extremely important. And it doesn't take one liberal to get in there and mess them all up. We're experiencing that through all this redistricting. You know, we've got, quote unquote, two Republican appointees. They're about as much Republican as I am Democrat. I don't believe it for a second. But, you know, the gap between the gaps somewhere. So we have got to start focusing on the little things, and the big things will take care of themselves. Look at our school board. You want better schools? Get involved in your school board. Go to school board meetings. You don't have to go and hack them, you know, or be ugly, but you can go and support, you know, and give them your ideas. Same with the school system itself. My daughter teaches. She can't get anybody to volunteer to help with her class. I mean, the things that we grew up with, Jeff, just don't work that way anymore, it seems like. And it takes community involvement for a community to work. So we have to get involved in politics. We have to get involved in these organizations. And everything in life is politics, whether you're in church, whether you're, you know, running for Congress, and everything in between is politics. So, you know, the Alabamians, we have got to get more focused on the details, the small things.
Yeah, I just people being more educated and have an understanding. It's complicated. And that's like the challenge. Even somebody like me, who is like steeped in this and lives this every day, understanding how this works, and you know, understanding that people, they keep up with the news. Maybe they watch a lot of Fox News even, but understanding like how the state works, understanding how your local government works, who is in charge of what, it can be complicated.
It can, and it can be very intimidating. I can remember when I won congressional seat, I didn't have a clue what was going to happen. I mean, I got up there and, I'm a congressman now. I got the title now. What do I do? And, you know, I was surrounded by staff members that were very, very qualified to help me find my way through it. And I found it. I mean, and whoever wins, if someone else was to win this race, they're going to go through the same thing again. Do not tell me that you're qualified for this job, because you don't know a thing about it. When you get there, you'll go, holy mud, I had no idea this was the way this works. And it's the way it's designed to work, Jeff. Right. Everybody thinks that's a bad thing, but it's the way our forefathers designed it. So we are, in a basic sense, we are the voice of the people of this district. That's it. The basic sense, that's it. But there's a whole lot of work goes around getting that message across the floor with all the members that you have to work with.
But you got to feel pretty good about where you are. I mean, is it, you know, going into it this time around, knowing that institutional knowledge?
Well, I do. And you know, the guys that I'm running against find that to be a negative. They think I'm, you know, I've been in office for too long. I don't see how two terms in Congress is too long. You know, if I'd been there for 30 years or 15 years, I think it would certainly throw a question mark. But it is a much different race in that the way we're running it, it's exciting. I know it's going to be probably my last very hard race. And, you know, the last 9 months have not been easy. We have fought bare knuckle and stand afloat in that one. So we're here now. Our message is getting through. Our conservative voting record is being gone through. People are agreeing with what our vision is. And, you know, I feel like we're going to win. I think we'll push it right on through November.
But yeah, three.
We'll win in November.
Three hard elections, right? We'll say your 2020 election. Well, I mean, I'm not going to count your county commission. I mean, even though that was, no, yeah. You know, but as it pertains to this office, you had this, you had the Barrymore race in 24, and then you got this cycle, which is maybe even more complicated at understanding and trying to explain to voters, you know, like what's going on. And you can kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel now, I feel like.
I do. And I'm one of those sick people. I love campaigning. Gives me a chance to talk to people. I learn more from talking to people than I teach them. I'm constantly listening to what their needs are, what their wants are, what they think's wrong, what they think's right about me. You know, constructive criticism is the best kind to get. So I love campaigning. I've certainly had my feel for it on this race. We've logged a lot of miles. We've paid the price, and you know, I believe it's going to pay off for us on August 11th.
Tell us what you learned here. I mean, you found yourself on kind of in a place that you normally wouldn't have been as an incumbent, even where you're running against a sort of a political establishment. And I mean, that had to be eye opening for you.
You know, I did not focus on that. I didn't focus on them. I focused on me. I focused on what got me beat with Barry. I focused on what got me elected against Bill Hightower. And, you know, and being humble, and that's one, I think, asset that I possess personally that I really forgot. I think I forgot how to communicate. You know, in Washington, you just get so absorbed in everything going on up there. It's a madhouse that you forget the people that put you in office are back home waiting to hear from you. So I've got some things put in place that I want to have better communication back home. I want to focus more on not necessarily getting back home more, because I do come home every time they open the door on a plane. But I want to focus on when I am home, making sure that my time is spent at the right place. So, you know, being humble, I think I really got humbled with the Barry race. I think that was God's full intent. And I accept that. I move it on. I've been a big fan of Barry's. I give him what little wisdom I've got. I've helped him, to get where he's at. And, you know, it's just, I'm in a great spot. I'm in a great spot personally. And, you know, I got only God to thank for that.
Well, and then kind of in addition to that, though, I mean, you're now, you're going to be on this show more regularly, right, once you get elected?
Yes, sir. I promise you that. Well, I asked you if you wanted to do that. You said, yes, I would love to do that. Yeah. That would be something I would love to do, is set it up, whether it's monthly or two times a month or whatever you want to set up, Jeff. We'll certainly love to do that. I've also got a conservative think tank I'm putting together. And I want to do a once a month, but maybe once a quarter. I'll see what they want to do once we kind of get filled in. But a very conservative think tank. And I can explain what my votes were and why I voted that way. So they try to understand what my thought patterns are versus, you know, getting what they get on the news and social media.
Congressman, we got to leave it there, but thanks for hopping on this morning, and best of luck to you on your continued
campaign. Thank you, Jeff, and you've got the luckiest boys in the world. I see all the pictures that you're posting about the baseball game, man. I'm telling you.
So we're not spoiled.
For a guy that grew up without a dad, they are very lucky.
Jerry Carl, thanks. You're very kind to say that. Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Or I may simply be a single drop of rain. Inside my head, before I reached 30, I'd be dead. But somehow on and on I go. I keep on rolling with the flow.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Monday morning. Real quick here, Ultra Runner asks, why are political advisors in Alabama so bad? How do they get in this line of work? You already have five jobs. Why not start a consulting to consultants? I mean, it's one of these businesses, though, like, you really got to be good at it, and you really got to be dedicated to it. It's not, I think the problem, Ultra Runner, is not necessarily that the advisors or consultants in Alabama. It's when you have out-of-state consultants who don't understand the nuance of the state, and there really is some nuance to it. And understanding that is, I think, part of a successful campaign. You can't just run a cookie-cutter campaign that you would run in any other state. All states are unique in their own sense. Adam, is Katie endorsing Rhett in his race? I would assume that's the case, but I haven't. That endorsement may still stand in AL2 from her last race. And Mike writes what he wrote, just for some reason repeated itself. Coming up here shortly, you get the real brains of this organization for Midday Mobile. Sean Sullivan. Sean, what you got?
Hey, Jeff, you know, that idea about that Ultra Runner came up with, you know, you and I have actually talked about that before, like a little more narrow consulting group.
Like media training, I think. How to talk into a microphone and how you know, like getting in and making your point and doing it in a way that communicates it without filibustering or whatever.
Yep. And on top of that, additional services, right? That what's different from the Shoals than Gulf Shores, you know?
Yeah, because you're right. Because you think about that, there's a lack of understanding about this part of the state, I find, in general.
Yeah, and other parts. I mean, if you're Birmingham-centric, then you're going to drop a lot of messaging elsewhere. And it is nuanced. And I think I think there's value to it.
I mean, everybody else say, well, they care about the port. They care about, you know, I don't know their limit during snapper season or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's not just that. It's not just like the easy layup. They celebrate Mardi Gras down there kind of stuff. The news culture is different. Mm-hmm. You have a bunch of different things that Birmingham and Mobile are completely different to be in the same state. And I don't think people necessarily get that live in this state.
No. And they continue to hire these people that fail at this. Right. I mean, they continue. The same stuff happens cycle after cycle.
Yeah. What if I know this to be the case, and and somebody like a John Gray or somebody, like they understand Mobile, but they kind of understand the rest of the state better than the consultant from Birmingham may understand this part of the state. You gotta, like, to be successful in our part of the state, you gotta have at least an understanding of the rest of the state. You can be successful in Birmingham and have no clue about Mobile.
Very true. Very true. Coming up, we'll go to Montgomery. Todd Stacey's going to join me. Also, hour number two. I don't know if he's in his office in Montgomery or on the road, but Commissioner of DCNR, Chris Blankenship, is going to join me in hour two of the show. That and more coming up on Midday Mobile.
All right. Y'all stay tuned for that. I got to get out of here. It has been a pleasure. We'll try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis. I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is...